In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We live in a time where people are often inclined to deny the reality of anything beyond the material, the things that they can see, taste, touch, and smell. But if there is no hope beyond this life, then there's no meaning to it at all. I've heard people who are atheists try to say, well, I find meaning in life in the fact that I can make the world a better place and hand it off to the next generation better. Well, one day, the sun, according to scientists, is going to go supernova and the earth is going to be burnt up. And so no one will be around ultimately to remember anything good that you did. And so it's not really going to matter if there is nothing beyond this life. But the fact that we have a hope beyond this life has a positive side, but there's a negative side to this belief that we have about the future life, and that's that there is a judgment awaiting us. We have a hope for life eternal for those who love God, but we also know that there is a judgment that awaits those who reject God. St. Peter, in his second epistle, talks about God's judgment. He talks about how in the last days there would be scoffers, people who would laugh at the idea of the judgment, and I think we are seeing something like that if we're not seeing exactly what he was talking about. In chapter 3, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation." In our country, we tend to think of something that's 100 years old as ancient. So we don't have any concept of time. But even people in antiquity, where they would see things that might be centuries old or even 1,000 years old that were still standing, you had people that would scoff and they would say, well, look, the prophets a long time ago said that the day of God's judgment was going to come, but it hasn't come yet, and so maybe it isn't going to come. But what we have to understand is that God's perspective on time is a little different than ours, because God exists apart from time. St. Peter says, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." And the point that he's making there is that they are suppressing the truth of God in unrighteousness, just like St. Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. There are things about God that they know. We all know that there is a God that exists. Even atheists know that. They don't want to admit it. But as I've mentioned, I believe before, there was some study that was done, I think, in Sweden, where they hooked atheists up to lie detectors and asked them to call down God's curses upon themselves, and they noticed that they became very uncomfortable. And if you're an atheist and you don't believe in God, then calling God's curses upon you and your family should be no more a source of distress than if you were calling on curses from some cartoon character that you knew was totally fictitious. But the point that St. Peter is making is that God's judgment's already been manifested in history, and the flood in particular is the most striking example up until now in the history of the world of God's judgment having come. There was a lot of history that happened prior to the flood. But then the flood came and only one family survived. And many people today want to scoff at the idea of a flood that wiped out most of the human race. But one thing that's very interesting is that almost every culture in the world has a story of a universal flood that wiped out almost the entire human race except for one family. Interestingly, in Chinese, I got very interested in studying Chinese characters. It's partly how I met my wife. The Chinese character for a ship has the image or the pictograph of a boat, and then it has the number eight, and mouths, which is a way that Chinese people sometimes refer to as people. Eight mouths in a boat is a big ship. Well, what big ship can you think of that had 8 mouths on it? Well, the Ark of Noah had that. And there are a lot of other things in Chinese characters that point to knowledge of what we read about in Genesis. For example, the character for evil has a spirit in a garden that's enclosed. And the character for righteousness has the pictograph of a lamb over the character that means me. So I'm made righteous when I have a lamb that's over me. There's all these things that you find in cultures around the world that testify to the fact that they knew something of what we read about in the scriptures. St. Peter continues, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack," or you could say the Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, "but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The prophets in the Old Testament foretold the day of God's judgment, and they also foretold about how the world would one day be destroyed by fire, just like St. Peter's talking about here. So he's not the first one to talk about this. And what he's saying is that God's seeming slowness in bringing about the final judgment is simply because he doesn't desire that any perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. He desires everybody's repentance. He's slow, and he's merciful, and he's patient because he wants us to come to know him. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." Though this judgment has been long in coming, when it actually does come, even for those that are paying attention, for those that are believers, we can see the day of God's judgment coming. But when it actually does come, it's going to come so suddenly that it will be like a thief in the night, and it will be unexpected. So we can see the signs of the times, but no man knows the day or the hour, as Christ tells us. And we might think we're going to live to see the second coming, and we may very well be that generation that sees that. There are certainly many things that point towards that. But we certainly wouldn't be the first generation of people who thought that we were that generation too. So we should live our lives as if God's judgment was going to come at any moment, but we should plan as if we have another 1,000 years. We should continue to live our lives and try to do things that help our families, that promote the church, that spread the gospel. I can tell you in the 70s, there were many people that thought that the world was going to be destroyed in nuclear war between the Soviet Union and the United States, and that we wouldn't live to make it out of high school. And so you had people say, "What do I need to study for?" Well, people who thought that back in the 1970s have lived a long time after that, and they've been in a lot of a world of hurt. So we want to live like it's going to happen at any time, but we want to prepare like it could be 1,000 years from now. But you might ask, well, why would God create the world if he's just going to destroy it? Well, he tells you at the very end, because it's going to be dissolved in fire, we're told. It'll melt in a certain sense, but we will have a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be renewed. It's going to be changed. St. Paul talks about this in Titus chapter 2, and he also talks about the fact that the knowledge of this should cause us to want to live a holy life, because if we believe these things, we should want to be prepared so that we're on the right side of the judgment and we're with the sheep and not with the goats. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a special people zealous of good works. Amen.